The artist's brain is an independent variable. When brought into the everyday world, their senses find meaning in even the most mundane observations. The reaction must only be told by the artists themselves. I'm Loverboy, and this is an experiment. Today's guest hails from musical royalty and has since made a name for himself that is completely his own, keeping the rock and roll alive with his flavor of pop punk and grunge. Please welcome today's guest, Jagger Henry.
What up, everybody?
Welcome, welcome, brother.
Which camera do I look at? Hello.
All the
cameras. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for coming, man. I'm so glad we got to make this happen.
Yeah, first podcast. It's truly cool.
Well, I appreciate you coming on mine for your first one.
Thank you.
And we were just talking, and your buddy's here, who's also your bass player.
Yeah, so Lucas over there.
Shout out to Lucas. Lucas it was, right?
Yeah.
Beautiful. So we were talking about before, I've heard a bunch of your music, and I'm a big fan of all of it, but Love Yourself is, to me, it's fucking incredible.
Thank you.
It's incredible.
It's one of my favorites.
When is that from?
I made that about 2 years ago. I just, one day, was in the studio, like, you know, when you get the motive to, like, go, but you're like, what am I going to say?
Yeah.
Like, because everyone says, like, they write and stuff, but, like, I think most of the writing really just happens at such a blur of your time. So it's like, I'll be in the car with him, and we'll just have a beat come on, and I'll instantly just be like, I've got an idea.
Yeah.
So it's like, I'll never be the type to sit down in the studio and be like, all right, from scratch, let's go. Like, I just like having a base idea when I go in. And I was in kind of a rocky relationship, and it was like a situationship, we'll call it. And she just kept saying, like, you don't love me. And I was battling, like, a hard time in my life because I had lost a couple of my friends that year due to, like, overdose. And I was like, to be honest, I don't know how I can love you because, like, right now I really can't love myself. Like, I'm just so lost. So one day I was driving in the car, friend who's, like, one of my good buddies over in I think it's Washington. He's just like those kids that make sick beats.
Yeah.
He was like, hey man, check this out. What do you think? And I heard it and I was like, I got an idea. And it was like, why would I want to love anyone else? I can't even love myself.
It's such interesting topic because it's one of the most understood yet hard to understand pieces of life that everybody goes through.
Yeah, no, true.
Especially, and the weird thing is too, it's like, it's the most guidable situation, yet so inaccurately because everybody knows the feeling, but it's so different than everybody else's. It's like when you think, like, I'm seeing red on my sign. You're seeing red. Are we seeing the same red? There's no way to ever understand it, but I can explain what it is to you from my perspective. And it's just, it's so weirdly interesting. But yet when I heard the song, it like conveyed very similarly to how you're talking about it, which I guess at the end of the day, you can try to do that as much as you want, but everybody's going to have their own their own thought process behind it.
And it was one of those weird ones too, because it was like the drums on it were great. They were. The kid's so talented, but it was like I wanted to, like, you know, put somebody on it. Because I was like, I want it to sound cool. I want it to sound heavier. And it was the funniest thing. I'd called my dad and I'd been like, because like me and my dad, we have a great relationship. Like now, growing up, he was, you know, always the man on the road. So it was like, you know, hey, you want to play catch? Oh, he's not home, you know? But I called him and I was like, hey, man, I made this really cool song. And he was getting into it because he was understanding that I'm finally finding my way. Like, he's like, all right, my son's, you know, picking up the music. And like, I'd always been making it since 12, but I finally found that like tone closer to my heart where I wasn't scared to be who I was. Because there was a lot of days where I was like, you know, I'd go out with my friends and just hide the true me.
I feel
and he was like, oh, well, I'm actually in the studio with Ray Luzier, the drummer for Korn. He was like, we should just track his drums on it. And I thought that was the funniest thing to me because I'm like, oh, my God, Korn. Like, I'm listening to Korn thinking it's like, you know, do-do-do-do-do-do. And then I'm like, oh, yeah, we'll give it a whirl. And he sent back the drums for it, and it was the complete opposite of what I thought.
Yeah, well, I saw when I found the song, I was doing my research and I saw that he played on it.
Yeah.
And it was startling to me because the talent wise, it was clearly somebody of practiced who's very practiced, but it didn't sound like Korn.
Korn, yeah.
And I was almost like after I kind of looked for corn in it, and I couldn't find it, which I was really, really impressed by.
Yeah, no, that's the wildest thing when you think of Ray. He's such a good drummer at that point where he knows that he's not drumming for corn in this song. He's still putting his touch and talent on it. 100%, when I heard it, I was like, you can tell this is a talented drummer. But I'm waiting for it to come back, and I'm expecting like this, like, like cymbals,
crazy double bass.
And then like it comes back, and I'm like, sick. But it was more of like a shock of like, this isn't what I expected. And it was probably the funniest thing to me, but I was just so happy with how it sounded. I was like, as much as I expected some full-blown like metalcore drumming, I'm really happy with what he sent back.
It's perfect. I feel like to understand when a musician is great versus good is when you know somebody so well by their style, yet they're still so musically, I don't even know the right word, musically defined, where they can go and they can still go play that halftime beat, or that they play to the song. They play for what it needs. To me, that's just the coolest thing.
That's like with like producers too. Like, for example, Bardo.
Yeah.
Like Bardo plays you a track, you know he made it.
Yeah.
There's like this signature they leave on it. Omer Fetty, great producer. You know, that's definitely one producer I plan to work with in the future if ever possible.
That would be phenomenal.
We were listening to the new Youngblood album when it came out, and instantly the song came on. I was like, Omer.
Yeah.
Just by the beginning, 3 seconds in the song, that's Omer. Checked up the stats. Yeah, it's Omer.
And what's crazy is that ability as a producer to meld to the situation. Yeah. It's why I love producing. I love going in the room and understanding that I'm here because I'm good at something.
Yeah.
But I'm also here because I need to help this person's internal dialogue become auditory, become
100%
giveable. It's very weird, but it's part of the puzzle of it that's so fun.
But it's also what makes it so much cooler, because I think growing up, I was like, oh, anyone can make a beat. And then you get to that age where it's like, all right, not everyone can make a beat.
Yeah.
And then you get to that next step where it's like, okay, they can make beats, but they can make beauty.
Yes.
And you see the true difference in everyone's talent. Like, I think when musicians get to that point in their career where they really understand that it's not just a beat and lyrics, it's art. There's so much like deeper meaning into making music. Like, that's why it's like, I love all genres, but it's like, I see some artists now go out and they do their thing, and you can tell they're just trying to make a hit.
Yeah.
And it's like, dude, just make art.
And enjoy it, too.
Yeah.
'Cause I think when you're trying so hard like that, it's really tough to enjoy. It's like if you're riding a bike and you have mountains on both sides of you, and you're staring at that little yellow line in front of you with all your might, you're missing out on the reason you're on this ride.
Yeah.
You know? And kind of, so you were talking before about Mod Sun, and it made something pop into my head. My first session in LA was with Mod.
Okay.
And I was a wannabe engineer, and he taught me how to engineer on the spot. And I've told this a million times in here, so if you've heard it, I'm sorry. But he taught me how to engineer on the spot because his engineer didn't come, me and my buddy Jake. And I watched him go from this, he walked in there and you can tell he knew what he wanted. And then you saw him reset and go, wait, I'm going to do this right now. And he just started going off the cuff. And it was like the first time I saw somebody make art in real time. And there's something about that that is so much, it will always be conveyed as more genuine.
Yeah, no, I think when you actually just kind of let something flow other than trying, like, you'll be actually shocked with what happens. It's like, wild. I've even had, you know, the wake up call where I had that time in my life pretty recently where I was, you know, oh, when's it going to happen? When's this going to happen? And I had to really set back and realize. And I had someone who was pretty up there in the industry kind of pull me aside and tell me, stop trying to do this and just do you.
Yeah.
Because if you just try to connect with people, you're not connecting with people. But when you're connecting with people, you are connecting with people.
Yeah. Well, and so part of the reason I have this podcast is I'm obsessed with people who are obsessed with what they do. And for me, the medium that I connect with the most is music.
Yeah.
And when I see somebody, I've had so many people on here that I get to see different beginnings for people and what kind of is the impetus for them going to their career and what roadblocks were there. And someone like you, and I don't want to harp on this and I don't want to talk about it too much because it's not why you're here, but like you clearly come from a place where there's a level of success that you have to I'm sure in the back of your mind, you feel like you need to connect with. And when I heard your music, it made me so happy to hear that it sounded like somebody who I wanted to know and not somebody that I already know. And to me, that is somebody who loves what they do. And when you love what you do so much, you want it to be successful.
Yeah.
And then you get into that situation of you're trying to be successful and you forget that feeling of being 15 and just playing the instrument or singing. Yeah.
Or just going to soccer practice and having fun.
Exactly. When I read in one of the interviews that you did is that your voice is your instrument.
Yeah.
And that's how you explained it. And I think that is what it takes to make it. It's not the social media. It's not all these other things. It's having something that you're so in love with and working so hard to better it and better it. It's like somebody who's obsessed with cars. When they put enough energy into it, they know how to fix it and make it better and tune it. And they know what to look for. And you're using your voice as that. And to me, that's as inspiring as it gets.
Yeah, no, growing up with the background, you know, I always joke like, oh, you know, I wish I wasn't there. But it's like I'm obviously joking at that point because truly grateful for, you know, who is in my family and who is in my family. It's always been there. And growing up making music, you always have the, you know, the criticism. Yeah. It's like, you know, I have a lot of articles. When I drop my music, the one thing that like used to bother me the most was it was like, it was never Jagger Henry drops Hate Me or Love Yourself or Wake Me Up. It was John Bonham's grandson releases pop punk track.
Yeah.
And I'm like, at first I used to be so bothered. I'm like, oh, you know, I did so much by like, you know, changing my name for the art and stuff like that.
Henry's your middle name?
Yeah. And it was my grandfather's middle name. So I kind of just was like, how can I take away the name without ever really taking away the name? And how it happened with that was one day I just kind of thought, I was making music and I was like, I'm ready to put some stuff out. My friend's like, well, what are you going to do? Jagger Bonham? Or are you going to have like a band name? And I was like, well, I love my name. Like Jagger, like growing up, if I went into a room and shook somebody's hand, they were like, your name's Jagger? Yeah. What? No way. You're born to be this, you know? And I just kind of said like, I'd rather people find me for my music than my name.
Absolutely.
And it's so much cooler when I heard someone say this to me once after a show. They're like, damn, dude, I've been listening to you for a while. And all this and that, and, you know, I connect with your music, I feel you, but I didn't know you were related to so-and-so. And that was, like, the coolest thing to me because it was, like, I've always grown up with the people saying, oh, you're so-and-so's kid, let me see your music, you know? And it was just, that's how it happened. I kind of just took my last name, put Henry there, and was like, find me for me, not the music and background and stuff.
What's cool is if you are the most accurate version of yourself, that's how you help a legacy the most, is by somebody going, wow, I fucking love this artist. Then they go in and some kid who's never going to know who your grandpa is and just isn't in that world, or your dad or whoever it is, finds them through you.
Yeah.
Like, that's so cool too, is like, if you want this badly enough and you work hard enough for it, the legacy flips sides.
Yeah,
and it's something that you get to go help a new generation find new music because of what you're doing. And like, the grass is always greener on the other side. And I've had people on here who had such stupid, ridiculous success as an influencer. And their whole goal forever was to be a musician. But once they make it as a musician, it's like, oh, look at the influencer doing music.
Yeah.
And I'm a big fan of the concept of everybody's got a first job. And however many first jobs it is. And I think that goes also with everybody's got a specific childhood. Everybody has somebody in their family or doesn't. And it's like, everything should be allowed to be a starting point versus who you are.
Yeah.
It's like, you look at like Jaden Hostler. He's doing an amazing job.
Yeah.
He's killing it. And he sounds great. And he's working
good
hard.
Voice, yeah.
And that's not because he was an influencer. Maybe there's some things there that are great because of that, but that's a great first job that he killed, and now he's using his talents to do what he wants to do. And it's like, to me, that's a hardworking person.
Yeah, no, it's funny you say his name too. Recently became good friends with him through the Beauty School Dropout Boys, and we actually all spent New Year's together.
Oh, how cool.
Which was amazing. And with Bardo and stuff and making music. And not that I ever had in the back of my head, like, oh, he's just the influencer. I always knew he was a good artist. I loved his music.
Yeah.
But watching him work was probably the coolest thing to me, because that kid is a perfectionist.
Yeah.
Like, even for not things that are his parts. Like, when I was recording something in the house and he was like, no, like this.
Yeah.
I'm like, I'm saying that. And he's like, no, you're not. Once you get it, you'll see it.
Yeah.
And seeing him run back and forth in the room, like the kid with ADHD that we all are, and really, you know, showing his talents of, like, he'd run into the kitchen to check on his dog Boot, probably tearing up toilet paper and stuff. And then he'd come back in and be like, I've got it.
Yeah.
And you're like, what? And then it was just something amazing to really watch. Cause like, where I grew up, a lot of kids did make music, but they were all like, I make music by myself. Don't bother me.
Yes.
So it was cool. Cause it was one of my like first actual chances to see five different artists in a room and seeing how everyone's mind works, how Coley's mind worked, how Jaden's mind worked, how Bardo's mind worked. And it was like a really eye opener for me, because I got to see the passion that other people put toward their music other than myself.
And seeing somebody, being in a room, first of all, with people, hopefully you're surrounding yourself with a lot of people that are better than you as much as you can, because that's obviously the best way to get better.
Yeah.
But also being in a room with people who believe in you and understand your abilities. Like when you're saying that he's saying no like this, he would not say that to you if he didn't think you were capable of more and more and more. And to me, that's like growing up and watching, let's bring it to the pop punk world. I grew up on that stuff. I'm sure we're all similar ages and we all grew up on that.
Yeah.
Watching like all these bands that had this community versus the animosity that I feel like a lot of the pop world kind of carries now. That's how you get better. That's how you form traditions versus singles. You know, that's how you make people want to tell their kids one day about you versus sing one line from your song and that's it.
No, I think that's the craziest thing too with a lot of these influencers that make music, is like a lot of them are out to make a hit and not leave a legacy.
Yeah, it's that TikTok thing.
Yeah, but I believe that Jaden is, you know, he's definitely out there to make a legacy.
Well, he's gotten enough of the one hit as far as moments. Like he's had those moments as an influencer. So I'm sure there's this, and I don't want to speak for him. I don't know him.
Yeah.
But I'm sure there, that feeling of that quick little dopamine hit is not, it doesn't mean as much anymore.
Yeah. The other day we were all out at Barney's and I told him this story. I said, it was the wildest thing when this kid said it to me. Cause I look at him like, you know, all these streams and followers and, you know, he's doing really well.
Very well.
He's talking about this new song he's working on. He's like, oh, hopefully this is the song that I make it with. And I looked at him like, What do you mean, dude? Yeah. Like, I'm pretty sure you have a song that just went gold.
I don't know what it would feel like to be in that situation,
but it's
that dopamine hit.
It's that mentality.
Yeah.
He's like, I'm not done.
Yeah.
You know, I have that, you know, hit, but, and that's the craziest thing is like, that kid has so much heart towards it, where it's like, it's more than just making a song for you to like make a dance to. It's like, I want you to play this for your kids' kids, you know?
Absolutely.
And that's the same thing like we all feel when we're making music. Like, someone asked me this question not too long ago. They're like, do you want your song to last a year or a lifetime?
Hmm.
And it was the craziest thing to hear, because it's like, it's such a simple question, but it's like, it made me reevaluate going into the studio. Like, I'm in here to make a song that's, you know, not only going to make me feel better, but be here for a while.
Convey that emotion for a lot, hopefully a lot longer than we're here.
Yeah.
And I think if you're writing about personal dialogue and experiences, you have that opportunity. If you're writing for people to have that personal dialogue, you're gonna have a really tough time, because you're doing it. It's like this Chat GPT thing is going crazy right now. Everybody loves it. And one of the things like Lex Friedman was talking about today on a podcast I was listening to is the difference will always be that there is no true story behind it. You're not going to hear that little crackle in the voice that lets you know that person's having a tough time saying these words to you. You're not going to hear the years of abuse on themselves, from others, from themselves, whatever that is in the music. There's this difference there. I don't know. I think that's why music is so beautiful and cathartic, is the fact that it's happens to be a diary for us, and it's made by a bunch of people who don't know how to convey that emotion otherwise.
Yeah. I think that's like the funniest thing, is it's like a therapy.
Yeah.
And it's like, you ask me to go talk to somebody about my feelings and I'm going to sit there in silence.
Yeah.
But if you, you know, shut the door and put a microphone in front of me, I'll let you know the deepest, darkest secrets I've got, you know? And that's like the wildest thing to me is like when people are like, oh, you know, like we need therapy or we need help. And it's like, it's true, dude. Like therapy is probably like one of the most beautiful things, like getting to go and express yourself and talk to somebody about what's going on in your head and feel okay. But for some people, it's just so much harder to talk to somebody. Like for years, I couldn't even talk to my best friend about my depression. And when I told him, he was like, he was a different kid. You know, he didn't really believe in it.
Yeah.
He was like, I'm happy all the time. So when I'm explaining it to him, he doesn't understand it. And then that put me back in that shell of, all right, nope, not going to tell people my problems. Because then it seems, you know, like you're just like, hey, help me. And then
it feels inaccurate or false to yourself, which then makes you have this weird in between thought of like, am I honest to myself right now? Am I being serious? When you know you are and you know you went through certain whatever your life experiences were.
Yeah, like I have one song, it's a part one and part two is Nothing Lasts Forever. Hmm. And it's the happy side and sad side to that truly nothing lasts forever. And when I made it, you know, I was starting to like send my music out to friends and family and be like, hey, what do you think? And my mom got a hold of it. And she called me bawling her eyes out. Is this really how you feel? Like, why didn't you ever talk to me or tell me these things? And that was when it hit me the most. Like, you know, my friends are like, damn, this is sad. But it was when my mom called me crying and was like, is this really like what's going on in your head? Like, you know, it's the wildest feeling to like hear your mom's tears over a song.
The dichotomy of having a good relationship with your parents is very weird in this industry because our job is to be honest, but you also don't want to let down the people that don't know the whole story.
Yeah.
The people who you want, they don't know the story because you want to protect them from those feelings.
Yeah.
And I get that on such an intimate level. I mean, I'm not the best writer when it comes to music. I struggle with that. And I found my ability that is not, that the lack of ability there comes to fruition here, in the podcast. And I mean, like you were saying before, and you put somebody in front of a microphone or you in front of a microphone, it's a lot easier. And I realized having musicians on, sitting in the room, people are nervous. The second they sit in front of the 7B, that little piece of the booth comes back into their life.
Yeah.
And it's a little easier to be honest again.
It's like a closed door.
Absolutely.
And even though it's the most open thing we do.
Yeah.
Like, that's the one thing I've never wrapped my mind around is we can't tell our friends that we're sad. You know, like he's the one person I definitely vent to as much as I do now. And we always hide our emotions to everyone else, but then give it out to the world.
Yeah.
And it's the craziest thing to me. And I really started thinking about it lately. It's like, I can't tell my best friend I'm sad, but hey, everyone out there listening, here you go.
Yeah. Well, when you hide it behind melodies, it feels less, there's less of an attack on it.
Mm-hmm.
It's you're getting the ADSR and you're putting it down a little bit for all the producers out there. And I get that. And that's why like something like this, like the podcast world, I'm so inspired by comedy because you see a bunch of people who have issues, who have this ornate ability to sit in front of a camera and be fucking brutally honest about it.
Yeah.
And like when I started this, my biggest issue is I have a disease with my eyes that through all the repercussions of it or whatever, it makes me blink a lot. And it's looks like I have Tourette's sometimes and it's my biggest anxiety. And I put myself in a position where 9 times a week I'm filming myself where it's looking me dead in the fucking eyes. And all I was thinking about for the first 50 episodes was that what people are thinking about. Then when you start realizing that all these episodes come out and nobody said a word about it.
Yeah.
All that internal dialogue starts to calm down a little
bit. Yeah, no, for sure.
And it's the same with music. You write an album by that last song, you might be too honest, you know? Like you sink into that feeling, which is necessary, and it's why we're here.
Yeah, no, I think I agree with that. You kind of hide your insecurities thinking that everyone notices, but no one's really paying attention.
Everybody's nervous of their own.
Yeah.
You walk into I was at a party recently with Pink, and I went alone. My girlfriend wasn't able to go, and I fucking terrified of going to parties alone, especially when it's not people that I know well.
Not a big party goer. I hate the club scene.
I wouldn't step foot in the club unless it was to support a friend.
You'll see me in the back corner.
Yeah, I'd rather be outside
with a Diet Coke or a Dr. Pepper.
Yeah, on a Dr. Pepper vibe. But like, I was in there and people started coming and saying hi to me and introducing themselves. And after 20 minutes, I go, wait, all 8 people who just said hi don't know anybody either. What am I walking with all this anxiety thinking that I'm the only one when I'm actually part of the masses? I'm part of most people there don't know somebody.
Yeah.
And you see somebody and like, some kid came up to me so confidently. He's like, hey, I'm whatever. What's your name? And I was like, that's so cool. There's like, that's so cool.
You rarely see it now too.
So rare.
So rare.
Do you feel like when you're going into a session with somebody that you've never worked with, it takes you this ramp up to get there? Or do you think?
Yes, 100%.
So do you work with people that you know pretty well as much as you can?
When I first moved here, it was all new people.
Keep going for a sec, by the way.
It was a lot of new people, a lot of new faces. So I kind of always was nervous and had to kind of shake off the nerves and do that whole ramp up thing. So to anyone out there, if you ever move somewhere and you're going to go work with new faces, just know it's just the exact same as what you were doing with the people before, you know, because I realized after the 30 minutes time wasted of me, you know, being nervous, I think finally I realized that we're all the same, you know?
Well, and how many opportunities do people miss in life because they're nervous about what the other person's thinking versus going and saying hello?
I know I've missed some.
Well, and like you guys were just talking, when you first met, you didn't think that you were going to be the right people to be in each other's lives. And now not only are you in a band, but you're like showing up to something that is ridiculously vulnerable and you're in full comfortability knowing that he's right there. To me, that's like, that's the goal of this.
Yeah.
If you can fill your industry, your little personal industry with people that make you feel great, you're in the right place.
Yeah. I think that's like the craziest thing too with LA and anywhere you kind of move to chase your dream. We all try to surround ourselves with someone who's more important.
Mm.
But the main goal that I realized is surrounding myself with people who want to win. Because if you go, like, obviously, you know, we want to see the best artist, be with the best artist, work with the best artist. But if you just chase that, you're going to lose so many opportunities to meet some of the greatest friends and people in your life.
Who will make you the best artist.
Because then you're going to come off as this person as like, oh, they just want to be around, you know, the cooler person.
Yeah.
And it's like, that's what people miss out on is like, you know, when I met Coley, I had just played Viper Room. And I'm, you know, with them, walk out. And like, I had heard of Beauty School Dropout. You know, I wasn't, you know, jamming their stuff every day. It was like, I'd heard of them, you know, because when you move to LA, you hear of every band. And I was walking over to Rainbow, get a couple of drinks with my friends to celebrate. You know, we just headlined the Viper Room.
Yeah.
And I stage dove and fell on my back because no one decided to catch me. Viper Room. But I walk up to him and, you know, he's standing in a group of people and I know some people in this group and I'm there in my skirt. And he's like, oh, you know, you look dope. What's your name? I was like, oh, I'm Jagger. This and that. We get to talking. Super cool dude.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, yeah, we're about to go on tour, you know.
It's insane.
You should come on and be the opener. It's like between you and, you know, I think Quentin was the other opener at the time. Mm-hmm. And then Q ended up doing the 3 LA days with us. And I ended up, you know, doing the whole tour with them.
Wow.
And it was the craziest thing. We literally walked to the Rainbow after a show, bumped into a kid who I thought was like super stylish. I was like, all right, I'm saying what up. This kid looks cool. And the opportunity arose to, you know, go on my first tour. And I think that's what people miss is they walk around these bars trying to find the better face or the most known face.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, sometimes it's the people that, you know, even though they aren't known, the people who we don't know, are they going to be the better conversation? And, you know, who knows what they can do and will do for you.
It is so accurate to life in general. And like the amount of people who've come up to me and be like, wait, why do you have that person? They don't have a following. Why'd you have that person on? Do you like their music?
Yeah.
It's like, I like them. I think that having them in my life is going to be beneficial to my happiness, to my...
Trust me, I live for the experiment. But there is one place in my life that I don't want to be an experiment. And that's when trimming my balls. Luckily, the Performance 4.0 package is here. Inside this package, you will find the Lawnmower 4.0 trimmer, the Weed Whacker ear and nose trimmer, the Crop Preserver ball deodorant, the Crop Reviver toner, the Performance boxer briefs, and a new travel bag to hold all of your new favorite things. I needed the Lawnmower 4.0 so much more than I ever realized. This thing has a ceramic blade to reduce grooming accidents, all thanks to their advanced skin-safe technology, a flashlight so I can actually see where I'm trimming, and not only that, but this thing's waterproof, so I can trim just about anywhere. I love this thing, and I love the whole 4.0 package, from the Lawnmower, the Weed Whacker, the Crop Preserver, the Crop Reviver, and all the free gifts they threw in. Trust me, fellas, your balls will thank you. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code EXPERIMENT at manscaped.com. That's 20% off and free shipping with the code EXPERIMENT at manscaped.com. Unlock your confidence and always use the right tools for the job with Manscaped.
To suppressing my ego, to allowing me to feel the most individual to myself.
Yeah.
That I like everything they do. Because it helps, they want to see me win and I want to see them win.
Yeah.
And we support each other. I bet you, before you met Cole and all of them, you didn't think you were going to be spending fucking New Year's with them?
No.
Like it's crazy how quick that stuff happens. I spent New Year's...
all sleeping in the same bed, too. Watching Modern Family.
I love it. That's as pop punk as it gets.
Yeah. I'll send you the photo to have pop up here that Coley took of all of us sleeping, and he just took a picture above of us.
We'll put it in right... there. And we'll take it out right there. Editing. So what are you working on right now that's making you kind of have that same feeling where you feel like you're being an accurate version of yourself and you're telling a story that you want to be able to listen back on and remind yourself of?
Lately we've been working on a bunch of new music. Like, it sounds, you know, so crazy that I only have 4 songs out, but about 40 ready to go.
Yeah.
And it's just like, you make one song and then you hear the old song, you're like, wait,
this one's better,
that one's not that good. Yeah. But even though it is, it's a great song. Mm-hmm. But you've now made something better. And I was just talking to the boys about this, is like, what do you do? And it's like, end of the day, when you made that song, it was good and it is good and you should still put it out. But it happens, unfortunately. We hear something like right now, I had a couple people drop some comments on one of my posts one day, you know, being like, oh, you know, freak show, loser, why is he dressing like this? Because a lot of my friends didn't know the true me back home in Florida. They didn't know the kid that was sitting in his room like, why can't I go out like this? Why am I so scared to dress like myself? And then when I do, you know, wearing my skirts, wearing my makeup and actually being true,
yeah,
they're like, whoa, dude, freak show, loser. And it's like, I was telling him, like, dude, these people are just saying this stuff, and I don't know why. And it just kind of happened in the car, too. We were working on a track idea, and I thought, why not talk about it? And that's how we started this new song that should be dropping soon called Freak Show.
Fuck yeah.
And we really do talk about the fact that it's like, you know, I'm proud to be a freak show. You know, if you're out there and you feel like you don't fit in or you feel different to everyone else, I promise you, you fit in more than them because they're dressing to just like fit in with society more than be themselves. So if you're the opposite of what society is, you fit in way more because you're yourself.
I guarantee there's more people coming up to you going, yo, I love the way you dress than all of them. And not only that, I feel bad for them.
Yeah.
That's a tough life. Feeling like you have to fit a mold that isn't true to yourself forever.
Yeah.
And there's so many people who are going to forever live in the image their parents want them to be, or their friends, or what they think their friends want them to be.
I think that's like the deepest part of it too, is parents. Mm. We're all scared of what our mom and dad or our grandma is going to think, you know, because, well, definitely back in my dad's day, people were dressing pretty cool, but,
totally.
You know, some families, they come from that strict, like, upbringing. Like, I remember on tour, we had multiple people come up to us like, how are you comfortable wearing a skirt? I wish I could do that. How do you wear eyeliner and lipstick? I wish I could do that. And I would say to them, why don't you? And they're like, oh, well, I don't know what this person will say. If that person has something to say about what makes you happy, I'm sorry, dude. If it hurts, that person probably shouldn't be your friend.
100%.
Like,
and hopefully they find the ability, and if they are wearing what they want to wear and it looks like the mundane, mm-hmm. Great. You do you. I think whatever, if you can wake up and leave the house with the confidence knowing that you're at least proud of the way you feel. I don't know if there's anything more comforting than that.
Yeah, no.
And I don't think you're going to make and act the way you need to act if you don't feel comfortable in your skin.
Yeah. And it's like, although whenever I leave the house, I do feel comfortable, the coolest saying someone said to me is uncomfortable is the new comfortable.
Hmm. Yeah.
You know?
Kind of dive into the friction a little bit.
Like, being an artist, you know, we all do love attention. If any artist is out there saying, no, I'm not always looking for attention, you're lying.
Yeah.
We all do love it, and that's why we, like, you know, dress our certain styles. It's because how we feel, and we're, like, artists spread art through more than just music. Totally. It's how we dress, how we look, how we act, our emotions, our persona, and I love when I notice, like, you know, I go to the mall, and I'll be walking around, and people are like, what has this kid got on? And it's like, as much as it's funny to me, like, I love it because it's like, I'm dressing myself.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, if it has a couple of people look my way, you know, so be it. And cool. It's actually probably the most advertisement I've ever had.
Yeah.
Like, way more than billboards, posters, stickers, Instagram ads. People come up to me, you're an artist. How do I find your music?
Well, when they see you wearing what you're wearing
in
regular day where you're not there to wear a persona. You're there just because you're living life and you have to do your fucking daily tasks. That's honest.
Yeah.
And I don't think people need to dress the same every day either. Dress the way that you want to feel. I feel like the way I look at clothing, it's a beacon. It's a light beacon. You want to attract the people that want to feel similarly to you.
Or it's at words. Least,
yeah, it's huge. It's and like you were saying, Cole found you because of the way you're dressed. Yeah. That's how he first found you.
Yeah, saw me at the Rainbow and was just like, oh, and that, really cool.
That was a really, really good magnet to find somebody that had a similar mindset and wanted life in a similar fashion to you. And that's just based off how you dress. And then he happened to find out, too, that you're a great musician and you guys work well together. And
yeah,
it's just, I think it's a job. It's something that I don't think it's for everybody because I don't think everybody has the right situations in their life yet to understand who they are fully. And I think there's a whole thing about stages for me are just, it's stairs. You're just getting to the place where you finally feel comfortable. But like, I don't know. I feel like there's a job in this to allow people to see what they are able to do with their life.
Yeah.
And like the grass is always greener and your childhood, if anything, should just show you that the crazy, amazing things in life are possible.
Yeah. And it's the funniest thing, too. Like, being with who my dad is, I'm thinking that when I go out in these leather boots, skirts, makeup, he's going to be like, sick.
Yeah.
That's what I did back in my day. He actually was like, why are you wearing that?
What the fuck are you wearing?
Yeah, what are you doing? Like, he's like
a dad.
Yeah, like, he'll see my latest Instagram post and be like, are you wearing lipstick? And it's the funniest thing because everyone's like, isn't your dad a rock star? Like, blah, 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 this and that. And it's like, you know, you look up pictures of him back in the day, you know, when he had hair.
Mm-hmm.
He was definitely a rock star in his snakeskin pants and all that. But you look at him now and it's like he's still, you know, one of the greatest drummers in my opinion. But it's different when you're a father. You're seeing your son do this.
Absolutely.
And you're like, what is my son doing? And especially with how generations change and how time changes, it becomes such a different thing and like how people see their kids compared to just other people.
Absolutely. Well, it's always this step away. It's always like, I think for the first time, we're in a generation where it's a clash of all, everything came together.
Yeah.
There was less new and more just combining the pieces of influence that you like and making your own version of that.
Yeah.
And like everybody's got their thing. And to me, that's like, that's true creativity. Mm-hmm. That's somebody being authentic. And like, I look like I'm fucking straight out of the 70s and people tell me it.
I love it though.
All that often. But
you
like
look sick.
But my inspirations weren't even that. It was just, I saw clothes that I liked.
Yeah.
And the music is definitely a huge inspiration for me too, but it's, I don't know, you find the thing that when you walk out the door, you have the biggest smile you possibly can.
Yeah.
Life is hard enough. If you can set up all the pieces that are in your favor to go the way you want and really put the pieces that you have control over, path of least friction.
Yeah, I think kind of being yourself is just more of like a way of words. Like how you dress, like I can tell. I'm not always correct, but I can tell normally how someone's going to act or be by how they're dressed, you know? Yeah. You see a man in like a perfectly ironed business suit, clean shave, hair combed. You know he's going to be very professional, shake your hand and ask you, you know, about the weather and politics. But then you see some guy who's like more laid back, maybe wearing a sports jersey. You know he's going to be some cool dude who's like, you know, maybe down to party, but...
He wants a beer?
Yeah, and he's trying to watch the next football game like him. And you can kind of see it. It's like the craziest thing that style is words. Hmm. And like we really show ourselves. Like there's times I could... honestly say I don't think that my band's ever seen me without eyeliner. Like I fall asleep with it on, wake up and add more. Like I'm at my gym every morning in eyeliner. The people always see me and they're like, you know, why don't you wipe it off? And I'm like, this is just who I am. Like every day, 24/7, I love it. Like,
well, your answer to them could be, why don't you put some on?
Yeah.
Same reason. They don't want to, you don't want to.
Yeah.
And that's the best part is you don't fucking have to.
Exactly.
You can do whatever you want and whatever makes your whole day feel good is how you should go.
Yeah.
You know, like
the best feeling is when you put on an outfit and you look in the mirror and like in the most, you know, non-conceited way, you're like, I look sick. Yeah. You're like very proud of how you look.
One of my favorite things in the world is throwing in headphones, getting high and going to Goodwill and just shopping around. And like that experience of I'm not listening to anybody else. I'm alone and my only job is to find something that doesn't look like it was something I would wear. And how do I put that on in a way that is creative for me? I love that feeling. It's like fucking Legos.
Yeah.
You're just building whatever the fuck you want out of these pieces of your life that you're kind of grabbing as you go. And you just got to use this internal filter. And
I think the best is when you take things that would never normally go together.
Yeah.
Like I remember always being like, you know, this has got to match this. And then one day I think it was, Romeo Beckham, I saw him out on Instagram on like a post and he was wearing like dark green pants with like a blue jacket, red shirt. And I was like, none of this makes sense, but it looks so cool. And that's when I kind of just started like, I mainly wear black, white, red, but I started seeing that and just being like, all right, I'm going to throw this with this and this with this.
Yeah.
And it's something you'd never think would make sense. And then you put it on, you're like, sick. This is cool.
And it's, you look at people you grew up with and you watch them 12 years later wearing the same clothes with the same unhappy face. And it's just this weird feeling of like, so, like I've had people say like, you didn't dress like that when you were a kid. I was like, yeah, well, I was also a fucking undeveloped little 13-year-old kid who had a lot of different
parts of my life. I hate that. When people say you didn't dress like that back then. Okay. When my sister was taking me to the mall to get clothes for school, I'm sorry, I couldn't tell my sister, I love you, Jazz, but I couldn't ask you to buy me a skirt or some eyeliner because you would probably think your brother is a little weird.
Totally. And it is weird. And that's what's amazing. And the fucking, all the shit I wear is weird because it goes against the grain. And to me, that's exciting.
Yeah.
That gives me energy, that pumps me up, that makes me feel like when I go into a room and I'm unbelievably self-conscious, I know that I have one part of me that is so accurately me that I don't have to explain.
Yeah. And I hate when people say like, you didn't dress like that a year ago or 2 years ago. And it's like, I truly believe that every day of our lives, we're becoming our true colors and our true self. You know, like I'm still not at full form. 100% I'm not, you know, and it's for a good example, you know, one of the biggest artists in the industry right now, you know, Machine Gun Kelly. You look up a video of him a year ago, he's in a bandana, skinny jeans, rapping.
Yeah.
And now, or probably 2 years ago now. But
now he's got spiky now everything.
Now he's spiky and pink and, you know, rock star. And people say, oh, he wasn't doing that a year ago. And it's like, he was though.
Well, he was also a different version of him.
Yeah.
Like, I think there is a lot of me that is not the same as I was when I was 10. And I mean that like physically, mentally, there's pieces there that are not the same. I'm not the same person. And if I was, it'd be a sad fucking life.
Yeah. It's not like I'm asking people with beards like, oh, you have a beard now? You didn't have a beard. Like,
exactly.
You know, when you
were 12. And if you don't have evolution, you're stagnant.
Yeah.
And that's a sad, boring life. And like,
there's
a lot of people who are built that can handle
that. They can handle it.
And as long as that makes them happy, I hope that they do whatever they want for the rest of their life. And But that's not fucking me.
It makes me think, too. I got one, like, one of my best friends. His name's Blaze. Blaze, if you're watching this, I'm so sorry to do this to you. But this kid wears the same pair of shoes with some khaki pants or jeans with a Mets jersey or, like, it's the New York Jets t-shirt that's been washed 1,000 times. We were roommates in Florida. I would see this kid, you know, rarely do laundry, but yeah, it was the same Jets t-shirt, dirt green.
Washed
the,
out.
The logo is half gone.
Yeah.
And he would just, you know, wake up, go to school, come home, order a pie of pizza, go on the balcony, have a cigarette, and then eat his pizza, watch the next football game, yep, go to bed. And he's the one kid I see do it every day, and I've never seen him frown. He just, that's his life, and he loves it. And I'm, you know, I'm proud of him for being who he is, and if that's who he is, then so be it. But he's the one kid I see that is just the most plain New York, because he's from the Bronx,
yeah,
just definition of that. And
is he a creative person?
No, yeah, he's creative in his own way. He's a, you know, just a creative kid, but he's like the classic New York, like,
yeah,
eats pizza, smokes cigarettes, goes out drinking with his friends, works construction, and then goes home.
And he's happy.
Yeah, he is. He's a very happy kid.
See, to me, that's amazing. And there's days where I envy that, and I wish that I had
I used to get
that.
Jealous of him, because I'd be like, how are you not sad?
Well, but I feel like there's also this dichotomy where instability breeds creativity.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes my girlfriend and I just had a conversation about this. It's like, if I didn't have a lot of the mental issues that I face, I don't know if I'd be able to see outside the lines enough to create something that is authentic and that has purpose outside of what's already been created.
Yeah.
You need the roller coaster in order to, you know, to have this sort of retrospect.
Emotions are art, as much as, you know, sometimes we hate the thoughts we get or mm-hmm. the things we deal with. It's all a part of life and art.
Yeah.
You know, like, I wouldn't be the man I am today if it wasn't for things that have happened in my life.
Totally.
I believe that we try to hide that too. And it's like, we never want to accept the bad or the sad or the good or the evil. But it's like truly what makes our emotions creative.
Yeah. Retrospect is the killer of all bullshit. When you can look back in retrospect, you can see utility.
Mm-hmm.
It's really hard to see utility when you're in it. And also, when you're a creative like this, we are built in a way where regular life can be really tough for us.
Yeah.
And that is for a reason. That has meaning behind it. That has use. And I guarantee all three of us in the room have our own version of that is severely different and scarily similar.
Yeah.
And it's just like, I don't know. I feel like it's part of this. You have to have life built into the situation in order to have something to write about. And if you have a real version of life, then it's not going to be one or the other. It's going to be this mixture of crazy and calm.
Yeah. No, I think the music industry is a perfect example of that.
Yeah.
It's just a bunch of people who deal with stuff and are kind of crazy.
Yeah. Oh, and very like, fucking crazy.
Yeah. You know, and we just kind of speak our mind. In a weird way, music is politics. We're all speaking our mind and, you know, saying what we, you know, vote for or what we agree with and disagree with. So it's kind of like its own little version of politics.
And it's just based off the circumstances that we were either given or forced into.
Yeah, because think with fan bases, you know, you're going to have some fans that agree with this person and they love that artist, but they're not going to like this or that artist.
And they'll turn in a second if they don't feel like the message matches them anymore, and that's okay.
Yeah.
And it's just like politics, I feel like the smartest people in politics are the people that have the honest ability to see both sides.
Yeah.
And I feel like the same thing here. If you have the ability to understand crazy and understand calm, then you can talk to everybody.
Yeah. I love that I said at the beginning, like, what's one thing you don't want to, like, you know, brush up on? Politics. I'm like, politics, and then I'm the one bringing politics into play.
I do think it's an important part of society, and I think if used correctly, it gets people speaking, which is great, but it also gets people yelling, which is trash.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know, I guess at the end of the day, everything is polarizing, and everything is also has the ability to connect.
Yeah, it's true.
So, back to music-wise, what's the next release for you? Is that Freak Show?
Freak Show is the next release, for sure. Just finalizing things now. We kind of had some guitar riffs that we wanted to change, kind of have it follow more. And stick out a little bit more, I guess you could say, because we were doing a lot of those chorus cutoffs that are like bump, bump. And we were like, we kind of need some, you know, get the people dancing.
Some fillers.
Yeah, get the people dancing. And then, you know, we're going to go back to the studio tonight. And Lucas's beautiful voice is going to help with the harmonies.
Oh, I'm excited.
And really,
to hear.
You know, thickening the song up and giving it the juice, as I like to say.
The juice is needed.
Yeah. But after this release, I think, honestly, I don't know if I'm allowed to say this, but maybe the song I have with Bardo and Coley. And after that, you know, hopefully either an EP or an album, depending on how it's looking.
That's so killer. Because
I've got the music. It's there. It's just
how you want to package it.
Yeah, sitting back. And I honestly just need a day where I sit back and listen to everything and see the story it tells. Because I have songs in orders that are perfectly made for albums. That's like when I made them, I wrote them by each day of my life.
Oh, that's so cool.
Like through times of my life, like the time I became best friends with strippers. By going to a strip club too many days in a row. And now I actually have the girl tattooed on my hand.
That's so crazy.
And she's one of my best friends. So shout out to Jordan and Jen and Ange and all that. But
that's such a good tattoo.
Yeah,
that's
no. So well Corey done. Miller. Corey Miller, great tattoo artist.
Shout out. That's insane.
Yeah. But there's stories that arose from their friendship. There's stories that came from losing friends. There's stories that came from the friends who were my best friends that ended up once I showed my true colors running away.
Totally.
You know, there's, so it's like I have those songs in that order to create an album. I can never speak. To create that album and tell that story one by one, but it's like, which do I want to put out first?
Absolutely. Man, that's so exciting. I'm so excited to hear all the music, and hopefully once we shut this off, I can get a little sneak peek.
Yes, 100%.
Unreal, man. Well, I'm such a big fan of your music, and now an even bigger fan of you. I really appreciate you coming on, especially for your first podcast.
Thank you for having me. And I was definitely nervous, but we did it.
It didn't come out. It didn't show at all. I think that there's an honesty that's hopefully going to help a lot of people. So I really appreciate that.
Thank you.
And I can't wait to hear new music and hopefully do this many more times. You have an open invite. So
thank you so much.
Make it happen. I appreciate you, brother.
We'll bring the band here.
I would love it. Let's do it. That'd be fun. Let's do it. And thank you, everybody, for watching. Thank you for listening. Go stream up his music. You can find it, Jagger Henry. And get ready to hear Freak Show. It's coming for your ears. Appreciate you, brother. Thank you.
Thank you.
And to everybody listening,
I'm Jagger Henry, and this is an experiment.
Fuck yeah. Bye, everybody. Thank you, brother.
Thank you.
The experience is the experiment. Ha ha ha.